Time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to check in with Marshall Helmberger. Marshall's the editor and publisher of The Timberjay. It's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, thanks for being with us.
Well, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, let's start off with a story you've been covering for a long time, years even, about the city of Tower and a developer of townhomes. They've come to some agreement now. Is that true?
Well, they have. It's a little bit complicated, but, you know, this project had been kind of on hold, really, for, the past few months. The city had, back in the spring, had indicated they were going to change the terms of an existing development agreement, and they wanted the financial or the developer to take on significantly greater financial risk in terms of funding for infrastructure for the project. Under the original development agreement, the city was providing the land for this townhome project, and they were also going to be financing, you know, the public infrastructure, the streets, you know, water and sewer, that kind of thing. In the end, they were not able to obtain as much funding from funding agencies as they had hoped for that work, and so they decided they needed to reduce their risk by asking the developer to take on additional risk by a letter of credit or some kind of tax abatement scheme. And the developers, not surprisingly, were reluctant to do that and been kind of at an impasse here for a few months. And now at a meeting here just last week, they agreed on terms, basically a way to move forward that mitigates the risk for both parties in a way that is at least is acceptable to both sides. And this project is back on track, essentially, which is good news. Still, lots has to happen before it actually goes forward. The new agreement does set a deadline of April 1st of next year, at which point the developers would have to demonstrate through actually signed purchase agreements that they have a viable project here. And at that point, if they do, then the thing will start to move forward. So hope that this development that has long been in the works will finally come to fruition.
And they do have people interested in the townhomes. Have they talked about that? Do you think
they do? They've had people, you know, for a long time. And, of course, you know, the problem is, as a project gets delayed, people who might have been interested a year or 2 years ago suddenly maybe aren't as interested today. And, you know, sales had been kind of on hold, you know, at least in terms of marketing. And the one thing is that they hadn't been able to actually sign purchase agreements because they needed to have all of the platting done. And the platting has just been completed in the last few weeks. And so now they're at a point where they can start to, you know, sign purchase agreements with the potential buyers. But until now, they haven't been able to do that. You know, so it's been hard to show that you have a bankable project when you don't have the land, you know, legally described so you can get a purchase agreement. So, you know, it's a chicken and egg sort of thing, which is kind of typical, I think, of projects like this in small towns where you don't have a lot of development capacity in terms of just people, you know, who are experienced with, you know, how you get projects like this off the ground. And there's a lot to it, and I think there's been a lot of learning along the way for both the city and the developers. So we're hopeful that it'll go forward, but I think, you know, at the same time, this really does show how difficult it can be to do economic development in a small town.
You know, one of the things that a lot of people talk about with small towns that they miss if they've lived in a city is restaurants. That's your next story we want to talk about. I want to hear about your meal, but first, tell us about this chef that was originally from Tower, and he's got an idea for some different kind of food in that region, right?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, his name's Brian Morcom, and he grew up in Tower. Actually, long-time family roots in Tower, and we've known him since he was a kid, and he had gone off at some point once he got out of school. He went on to the Le Cordon Bleu College of Culinary Arts in the Twin Cities and later began working at the restaurant Alma down in the Twin Cities, and that was under the supervision of a chef named Alex Roberts, who worked under James Beard, you know, and, of course, they had an approach to food that was, you know, very different from what you normally get, kind of the typical fare up here. Much of it was really focused on local sourcing of food and cooking by the seasons, you know, kind of what's in season. And Brian is now back up in our area, living near Tower, and he is trying to establish his own brand, essentially, the Gourmet Chef. and is hoping to open his own restaurant. But in the meantime, he's been doing pop-up restaurants, which is something that you hadn't really heard about up here much, but apparently they're kind of popular in metropolitan regions. And he had recently had a pop-up restaurant day on last Saturday at the Black Bear Cafe, which is located about 10 miles southwest of Tower. And Jody and I decided we had to go and take part and see, you know, how good the food was. And it really was fantastic. And we'd had his food before, so we know he's an excellent chef. But we were very excited to support this concept. And he is planning to do more of them because the first one was quite successful. And basically it just means that for a day or an evening, he takes over the kitchen at this restaurant and runs the show and serves a particular meal. You know, it's not like you have a full menu, although he'd cook you a burger if you wanted one. But generally he's pushing the specialty that he's cooking that night. And we had the specialty on Saturday night was walleye and Indian curry with vegetables, all locally sourced, food, and wild rice that he and his girlfriend had harvested. He had some naan bread as well to go with the curry, and then and for dessert they had a chokecherry sorbet with freshly picked chokecherries that he and his girlfriend had gone out and picked. So this is definitely different from the normal fare that you're getting at most of the restaurants in the Tower area. So it was definitely a treat. And the word spread pretty quickly that, hey, there's some really good food here at the Black Bear Cafe tonight. So people started showing up. And I think, as far as I understand, he sold out, which is great. And it sounds like he's going to be doing these on a fairly regular basis now. And it's good for him, helps to, for people to learn more about what he's doing, and his focus on local foods. And then that's also good for the Black Bear Cafe because people are coming in, they're buying beer and other drinks to go with everything. So I think it's a good approach for somebody who's just trying to get their foot in the door and get started up here as a chef, and I think it's going to be successful.
Sounds like a great way to try something new out by doing some pop-ups.
Absolutely. I love it. We're going to be going to a lot of them, I suspect.
Yes. I'm a little jealous. So Marshall, let's talk about another story you've been covering. You've been a little tired of the weather we've been having, so you took a look at what actually has been happening and what it's been like in years past this time of year.
Yeah, well, it's... we've been hearing it from everybody. I don't know. It seems like everybody's in a grouchy mood, and you might think, well, it's the politics and the election right now, but I think it's also the weather. And I did talk to Pete Boulay, who I like to check in with. He's a state climatologist. And, they're feeling it in the cities, too. We've been a little colder than they've been, but they've been certainly seeing all the cloudiness that we've been seeing, which is really remarkable. I mean, most people expect, here we all talk about September as being that beautiful month, when we have all the sunshine, those crisp, sunny days, and mild temperatures. We did not get that this year. We kind of went from summer in the first 10 days or so of September, and it just kind of went into this really pretty gloomy, cold, persistently cloudy period, which is really much more reminiscent of Halloween. And there's been quite a few days that were pretty reminiscent of deer season, just in terms of being cold. And I know last Friday we had some snow flurries during the day on Friday. And, so we're starting to see all that. And I know there's more chances of flurries in the forecast here in the next over the next week. So this is a little early. Our temperatures, even this time of year, are still in the mid to high 50s, depending on where you are for highs. And this cloud cover is certainly unusual. It's much more indicative of, Halloween and November, and those are the times of year that we tend to, think as being, really dark and gray. And, so it's been kind of disappointing to have this. I think a lot of people feel like we just didn't get the September we deserve.
And how about the colors? That's also something we look forward to.
Well, absolutely, and in contrast to the gloomy skies, the the woods right now have really come on. And I had kind of thought that we might be in a little bit of trouble there. The cloudiness does not necessarily help the color change. But I think what's happened now is that the maple are peaking later than usual. I mean, a lot of folks recognize up here we almost have two color seasons. We kind of have that, the maples kind of pop about, late September, and then the aspen come on in kind of early October. And it seemed like the maples kind of held off a little bit, I think, because of the cloud cover. And now they're peaking in early October, which is late, but the aspen are peaking about on time. And so we have a situation now where just about everything is pretty much at peak color. I mean, the aspen are looking really nice now, and the maples are still out there very prominently, whereas normally by this time of year, they've pretty much faded away. So I think we're kind of getting the best of both worlds, and as far as I'm concerned, it's turning into one of the nicest color seasons we've had in a while.
It's Marshall Helmberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can read and see more at timberjay.com. Marshall, we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.
I feel grateful. Something else besides Mother Nature strains you, plains.